For many people, one of the difficulties of Good Friday is that we know how the story ends. And it becomes a little bit difficult, at least for me, to really grasp the significance of Good Friday. The significance of Jesus being crucified. Because I know how the story ends. For me, and I suspect for at least some of you, maybe many of you, the movie a number of years ago now, The Passion of the Christ, really brought that home to me. But as we gather tonight to remember, in just a couple days we'll gather to celebrate because we know how the story ends. But tonight I want us to pause and as best that we can to sit back and remember. When I read through the Bible, I love to put myself in the story. And there's times where I'll go through it several times, imagining myself as different characters in the story. And yet, for whatever reason, this story that we're looking at tonight, this account of the crucifixion of Jesus, is a tough one for me to put myself in the story. And I think it's because none of the characters are what I want to be. And yet, it also might be because all of the characters are representative of who I am. Tonight we're going to look primarily out of the Gospel of Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 27, in a message I've entitled A Time to Remember. Because I believe that's what this is. A time to remember. But the question is, what is it that we're going to remember? What is it that God would want us to gather together and remember on this Good Friday? Let's listen and follow along to how Matthew recorded this. Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 32. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon. And they forced him to carry the cross. And they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. And above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And in the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. And then, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when some of those standing there heard this, they said, well, he's calling Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. And the rest of them said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. And the tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Would you take a moment as we pause and pray? Father, as we consider your word tonight, as we take the time to remember, may we allow your spirit to teach us. May we remember the things that we ought to remember. And may it not simply be a remembrance of knowledge, of information, but may it be a remembrance that changes the way we live. And Father, on this Friday that we call good, may we remember the death of Jesus and why he died for each one of us. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. As I look at this time to remember, we're going to use that word time as our outline. And we're going to look at a segment out of that scripture that I just read, but we're also going to look at each of these elements out of each of the four Gospels. The first thing I believe that we can see as we look at this text is that Jesus wants us to know a truth to remember. As Jesus was hung on the cross, it says that Pilate posted the charges against him above him that said, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. It's over in John that we read that the chief priests were kind of upset about that. They said, don't put it that way. Say that he claimed to be King of the Jews. If you look over in the Gospel of John, you'll see that Pilate's response is, what I have written, I have written. Now, we look at that and it sounds kind of a bold statement by Pilate, but I find it fascinating that it's this same Pilate that not too long before had asked Jesus the question, what is truth? And I look at this message from the cross. And I say, in this time to remember, it's a truth to remember that this indeed is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Not necessarily the king that they were looking for, not the king that they wanted, but the king God had sent. And he was being crucified because he did not match up to their expectations. And we would do well to remember the truth that Jesus, the one that hung on the cross, that paid the penalty for our sins, was the King that God has sent for each one of us. And not only do we have a time to remember, a truth to remember, we have an invitation to remember. This one, I think, is kind of fascinating. Mark puts it this way in chapter 15, verses 29 and 30. It doesn't really sound like the invitation that you would expect. He says, those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, so, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself. And when I look at the cross, I think it's important to remember the invitation that was offered to Jesus Save yourself. It's really the same temptation. It's the same invitation that Satan had offered to Jesus back after his 40 days in the wilderness. Just bow down and worship me, and you don't have to go through all of this. And here's the crowd playing that same card, that same invitation. You don't have to do this. You have the power to save yourself. I know you may be asking on a Good Friday service, why are you focused on that invitation? Well, I think it's that invitation that shows each one of us how much God's love for us existed in the person of Jesus. When we recognize and remember the invitation to forget it all, the invitation to save himself, the invitation to, as we would say in our culture, look out for number one, we ought to see within that invitation the love of Jesus as he chose to ignore that invitation, as he chose to hang on the cross so that your sins and that my sins could be paid for. And I believe as I look at the cross, I look at this powerful invitation, and it leads me to thank God that Jesus loves me to such an extent that he was obedient to his Father and ignored the invitations of the world. As we look at a time to remember, we look at a truth to remember, we look at an invitation to remember. But we also need to look at a motive to remember. It kind of explains why he bypassed that invitation. In Luke chapter 23, as Luke gives the account of the crucifixion, verses 42 and 43, Jesus is responding to one of these criminals that are crucified with him. And this criminal says, then he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. And I'm not sure that there's a clearer picture of the motive of Jesus than that right there. Jesus stated throughout Scripture, he made it clear as he was here on earth that his mission, his purpose, was to seek and to save that which was lost. His motive for living, his motive for ignoring the invitation of the crowds to save himself, was he wanted to offer salvation to every one of us. And this thief on the cross becomes one of the first to hear those words from Jesus. To understand the motive of Jesus was out of love for people, out of love for you and for me. You see, when we begin to grasp the incredible goodness of God, we recognize his hanging on the cross, the incredible suffering that he endured was out of the pure motive of love. But as we consider this time to remember, we have a truth to remember. We have an invitation to remember. We have a motive to remember, but we also have an exclamation to remember. John put it this way in John chapter 19. And verse 30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. It's always fun for me to weave the gospel accounts of especially the crucifixion together, because they all have these little details. And overall, you look at it, well, it says the same thing. John's the only one that it's recorded that he used these words, it is finished. The others, as he reaches that point, it says he cries out with a loud voice and he gave up his spirit. But John was there. John was there to, as Jesus told him to look after his mother. And as we take this time to remember, it's important that we remember this exclamation of Jesus, that it's done. What I've come here to do is completed. His life, the work, the ministry, the task that had been set before him was accomplished. And as we pause to take time to remember, the question that I have for you and for myself is, so what? I know it's kind of a bold question, but so what? What about this truth? What about this invitation? What about this motive? What about this exclamation makes a difference tomorrow? You see, I believe that's the heart of the message of Good Friday. It's why it's really impossible to fully separate it from Resurrection Sunday. Because even as Jesus exclaims that as he gives up his spirit that it is finished, he knows there's one more task to do. And that's coming. That's the task that shows his power over death. Up until this point, as we celebrate, as we remember this Good Friday, we have our sins paid for. And as Jesus proclaims it is finished, I believe as Paul wrote that he says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And I believe at that moment when Jesus cried out with a loud voice and said, "It is finished," his eyes were looking far ahead, knowing that his work had been done. And I believe that as we go about life every day, that we have those same opportunities. We have the opportunity to help those around us remember the truth of who Jesus is. We have the opportunities to help people see beyond the invitation of this world to look out for themselves, when God wants us to look out for one another. We have the opportunity to live with pure motives that represent Jesus well, that in our efforts seek to find the lost, to introduce them to Jesus. And we have the opportunity, I believe, to live life in a way that exclaims at the end of our life, "It is finished." And hear those words from Jesus, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Tonight, as we take this time to remember, I want to close with a poem. I wrote this a few years ago now. But I want you to just stop and listen. As I said at the beginning, I like to put myself in these stories. And this poem is one that was written from a perspective of being there. In fact, I titled it, "I Was There." I sit here tonight and pray as I should, as I do reflect on this day we call good. I try to imagine, if I had been there, would I have noticed? Would I even care? People are dying out there on that hill. That's just what happens to that kind of swill. The crowd's cheering loudly. is that my voice too? I want no part of this king that's a Jew. Why do the shouts seem so loud in my ear? What did I do that has brought me so near? It seems I am stuck here, suspended in air. I wish that the truth was that this punishment's not fair. But as I consider the things I've done wrong, it starts to sink in. This is where I belong. I lived like I wanted. Life was all about me. It was my sinful choices that put me here on this tree. There are two men here with me. Quite different are they. As I listen closely, I hear one of them pray. Father, forgive them, were the words that I heard. And from where I am hanging, that sure sounds absurd. The other man's yelling and mocking the first as the man they call Jesus cries out, I do thirst. The insults continue, but I've had my fill. I say, we deserve this for what we thought was a thrill. We got what was coming from the choices we made, but that's not the case with him, I'm afraid. There's no fault within him. He's innocent for sure, yet he still hangs there and I watch him endure. I realize this moment requires my all. So I turn to the Christ and on his name I call. Jesus, remember me when you reach your kingdom. And he says, I'll be with him. And then he says, it is done. It was quite a journey. I've not left my chair. But I look at my life and I'm sure I was there. My sin hung there with him. It was nailed to that tree. I must make a choice. Which thief there was me? The one I have chosen, and I pray you do too, is to cry out to Jesus, let me be with you. So my life did not end as it looked like it would. It is only beginning on this Friday called good. Father, help us to accept your word, accept your message, accept this time that we've taken to remember. And may our life be lived as representatives of Jesus because of the things that we remember tonight. And may we, like that thief that recognized his failures, call out to Jesus and say, remember me. It's in his name that I pray.